turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And this is a room full of troopers today. You've survived till the end. So I certainly know how you're feeling, though. The parent patience tanks are empty. The candy bags are empty. But we hope that your heart isn't empty. Hope your heart's been filled with the ministry we have heard today and yesterday and the thoughts of Christ. So maybe there is somebody here today where your heart is empty. Your life isn't full. I was on CNN.com recently, and I'm not too sure if you've had a chance to check out the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy. It was a title on CNN.com. I was surprised they actually put it up. And it said this: our beginnings, question mark. Then it said, God or I don't know. And you listen, you click on the video and you watch the video and you see Bill Nye standing there. He says that because he was asked the question, where did it all begin from? And he said, I don't know. And then Ken Ham gets up and he says, Bill, I want to tell you about a book that tells us God's beginning. To me, it sounds, I don't know, sounds pretty empty. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know where I came from or where I'm going. I just don't know. That sounds really empty to me. But when I hear God, His purpose, His love towards me, oh, that fills my heart. Gives me joy, gives me strength to go on. And that's what I want to bring our attention to today. As a last part of the conference, is I want to bring your thoughts to the shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth, this is Jesus talking, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. For he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter or the gatekeeper or the one that's opening the door openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, the patience of the Lord Jesus with these people. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's getting very focused here. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There is a painting that I recently saw an image of on the internet. It's a painting of a burnt down house, burnt down right to the ground. There's nothing left standing except for the chimney. And even that, it's about to crumble. The painter painted a very dark image. But in front of the fire stood an old grandfather standing beside his grandchild. The grandchild, you can see, is looking up to his grandfather, and there's tears running down his face. He's dirty. The grandfather's dirty. The clothes are all torn, all ragged. And the grandfather has his hand on the grandson's head. And on the bottom of the painting, you read the words of the grandfather. It says this: hush, my child. God ain't dead. He's not dead. He's alive. But so many people today say, well, if he's alive, then why is there sorrow? Why is there suffering? Why is there suffering in my life? And you look around the world, why is there sorrow? No, God isn't dead. God is there. God is uplifting the brokenhearted. God is giving peace to sinners. God is giving life. God is alive. And I have proof of it in my own life. But how about you? Have you experienced the life that God has for you? Have you come to understand that God is real, God is alive, and God is interested in you? This is what he is trying to bring toward these people. They're standing before him. There's these people, they're the Pharisees. They got no time for him. They're actually going to put him to death eventually. And they don't understand what he's saying. And the first few verses, he's bringing to them, he says, now you've got to listen to me very carefully. Verily, verily, it's true, it's true. And he goes on, he says, you want to identify the shepherd. He draws a picture. He's painting a picture for them of a shepherd. A shepherd with a sheep. And he says, you need to identify, you need to recognize the shepherd, the true shepherd. He says, there have been others that have come, and they have tried to say, I'm the shepherd, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ, I'm the one that God has chosen. But they cheated. They climbed over the walls. They come in a different way. They're cheaters. And they just want to do nothing but steal and to destroy. So Jesus Christ is laying the ground. He says, you want to make sure you recognize who the shepherd is because you need one. You need one. Isaiah writes that we are all like sheep have gone astray after our own way. We have no guidance in life. We're left on our own. We're lost. We need a shepherd. If you were driving down the road and you saw a little sheep out in the ditch, how long would that sheep survive without a shepherd? Without someone coming to take care of it? Oh, would you give it a day before it wanders on the road? Would you give it a couple days before it starves? It won't survive. It's not going to survive. My friend, you're not going to survive without a spiritual shepherd to take it to heaven. And here's Jesus Christ. He's being very plain and clear to these people. You want to recognize the shepherd. I want to think of three things and how that they should be able to recognize the shepherd and applies the same to us. The very first thing he says, I can be identified because of the prophecies already been told of me. He says, there's those that have written things about me and they have come true in me. And just, I mean, he's probably in his early 30s here. And so he has only, and the people have really gotten to know him just a little bit. But he says, the much you know about me, you should be able to go to the Old Testament and find that that was written about me. I wrote the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you've got Isaiah. Isaiah said he's going to be born of a virgin. Moses says that he's going to be born of the line of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. He's going to be born of a king of David in that line. They say also, Hosea says he's going to be called out of Egypt. Micah says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Very detailed things about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, this is the door that I'm going to come through, and I'm going to come through the right door. And this door is the Old Testament. And the Old Testament attests that I am the true shepherd. So these people should have been able to. And it wasn't that they actually knew it. They knew the Old Testament. Remember when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and the wise men came? Herod said, who is this one? Where is he supposed to be born? They knew the answer. Bethlehem, Judea. They knew. They knew where he's going to be born. They knew the answer. And so it wasn't like it was hidden. It was right in the open. And he says, I have come through the right door. You can identify me by the Old Testament prophets. There's a mathematician, Peter Stoner. He took the probability of 8 prophecies coming true. Just 8. Now, there's much more of the Lord Jesus, but just 8. He says the probability of that coming true is 10 with 17 zeros. Now, that is a number so huge you couldn't even begin. So it's not by chance. It's done on purpose. And the Old Testament prophets wrote hundreds of years before. And here's Jesus says, you can identify, you can recognize, I am the true shepherd because of the Old Testament prophets. But also he says this, you can also recognize me because of the gatekeeper, the one who opened the door. Ever been to a wedding before and you're sitting there and you're waiting and up walks the flower girl than the ring bearer. There's attention given to them, and they're walking up the aisle, and they're coming up the aisle. But eventually what happens, you take your attention off those two, and you're more attention, but they led the way. They opened up the way for the bride to come. You see, the Old Testament prophets wrote about Jesus. He's coming. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. He's coming. Here's the door. They're opening the door for him. Then John the Baptist comes. And John the Baptist comes up, and he's baptizing people. And then the day came. Could you just imagine the crowd around, all the Jews standing around? And the day came when Jesus came over the horizon, and John was told, I don't know if he knew ahead or if this is what he found out right then, but then he points to him. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." What did John just do? He opened the door for the people around to understand this is God's turn. It's God's turn to sacrifice his lamb. Then the Holy Spirit came. Jesus was baptized, came up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And immediately, the Holy Spirit drove him out to the wilderness. Why? To prove to everybody he's perfect. He can't be touched by sin. The door has been flung wide open. He didn't cheat. He didn't come a different way. He came through the way that the Old Testament said. That John the Baptist said very clearly. And the Holy Spirit proved it to us. He is the good shepherd. That's why he pauses. You can see him just pausing. This is, I told you, this is how you identify the good shepherd. And then he pauses and he says, "I am the good shepherd." They were so blind. They didn't get it. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight and you're doubting if Jesus Christ is really the one. Maybe you will consider that you are the one to save yourself. Maybe you could think of a church as the one to save you. Nothing else is going to ever save you other than the true shepherd, and that's Jesus Christ. The way has been paved. The way has been made straight perfectly, and he is the one. And so when you recognize somebody, what are you supposed to do? I remember just this past Christmas, we went to a house that had a big Christmas displays. And the man spent thousands of dollars to welcome people into his yard, and we're walking around. And as I was walking around, admiring everything and trying to hold my kids back from destroying anything, I heard a voice. I thought, I recognize that voice. It was the owner of the home. I listened a little bit longer, and that's Dennis. I went to school with him. We were good friends in school. I recognized the voice, and by the voice, Now, what do you think I should have done? Hope he doesn't see me. I'll just ignore him. That wouldn't have been appropriate. Of course, I walked right up and said, "Dennis, I'm Brian. Do you remember me?" Yeah. And we had a great conversation. You see, once I recognize somebody, and it happens to everybody, you recognize, oh, that's who. There's a response. There's a reaction. And hopefully the reaction is sometimes we do get to the point where we recognize someone and go, ooh, don't want to be seen right now. But not with a good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Just take a look at him. Everything is perfect about him. Everybody around him says, he's the one. He's the one. It's him. He's the one who's been selected by God. What's your response? You know what the response should be? I trust him. I trust him. What does he say next? He goes on talking about the door. He's saying, here's a door. And he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Any man, any person, any boy, any girl, any woman, any man. It doesn't matter who you are. Anyone could come in and enter in through the door. Notice he does not say, I am one of the doors. Could you just imagine for a moment if you came up to a house and there was no doors on it at all? You'd be like, how am I supposed to get in? That's not heaven. Heaven isn't barred off. What if you came to a house and there was a dozen doors? You would say, I don't know which one to take. That's not heaven. It's not confusing. You walk up to a house and there's a door. It's the front door. I know what door it is. I know what door. I know how to get in. Jesus Christ makes it simple, plain. He says, I am the door. Oh, my friend, tonight you need this shepherd so badly. You need him because if you continue on in your sin, the Bible's very, very clear. If you continue on in your sin, there is wrath that is hovering over you. And if you continue, that wrath is going to let go. It is going to release. It will have to. You will have to be the one that will bear it. Because you never came to the shepherd. You never came to the one who gave you life. Never came through the door. I trust there's somebody here tonight might understand the reality and the seriousness of getting your sins forgiven and erased and coming to Jesus Christ for life. He is the door. You might be thinking, how can somebody be the door? Well, he's very likely painting a picture of what shepherds used to do back then. What shepherds used to do is they would guide their sheep through the day. They would go from a pasture here to eat a little bit. Well, this pasture, eat a little bit. And then the shepherd would bring them to the nighttime when night's coming. They would find usually a cave. If they couldn't find a cave, they would actually make a high wall out of rocks. So we'll just pretend they found a cave. They would take their sheep, put them in the cave. And then the shepherd would do this. The shepherd, when the nighttime came, he would lie down at the front of the cave. He'd lie himself down. Why would he do that? Do you know why he's doing that? To protect the sheep on the inside. Because if a wolf was going to come, the wolf is not going to get to the sheep. The wolf has to eat the shepherd first. And if the wolf can get through the shepherd, then the wolf can get to the sheep. But the shepherd's going to do everything he can to stop that wolf getting to the sheep. Can't you see the picture? Jesus Christ, he's painting an image for us. Very clear picture. He says, I'm just like that shepherd. And there's a safe spot. There's a place of security and safety and care and compassion. And it's on the inside. And I'm the door. And the wolf is not going to come and get you. Do you know why? Because I laid down myself. I laid down myself as the door. And you know what? There'd be a shepherd that lived back then. There'd be night after night where he would never get hurt. But I'm sure there was a shepherd that did exist where the wolf came. I want those sheep. And the shepherd with his staff had to fight off the wolf. And I'm sure that some shepherds got wounds from wolves. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when he laid down his life, he laid it down on a cross. And he laid it down willingly. He says here very clearly, he says, I have the ability, I have the authority to lay it down. You know what that tells me? That our shepherd is willing. He's willing. He's willing to do everything he possibly can for the sheep. For those lost sheep, they don't deserve it, but he will do it. And he laid down his life willingly. And then he says, I've got the power. He's the powerful one, and he's going to lay it down. There in the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ laid himself down on the cross. That wicked man nail his hands and his feet to that cross. And they lifted it up with just a word or just a thought. Jesus Christ could have changed the scene like that. Every person around there could have been gone in an instant. But the thought that Jesus Christ allowed them to continue is beyond me. They allowed him to hit him in the face. They allowed men to rip his beard off his face. They allowed men to spit, the most despicable thing you could do to a human being, to spit in his face, to rip his back open, to nail him to a cross, to lift the cross up, and people walk by with utter disgust. No time for him at all. He's painting the picture for us. He says, I am the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. He was there for a purpose. He was there on the cross to bring you into where? Inside the fold. Inside the safety zone. Not outside. Inside. And so when we think of this, I want you to sincerely ask yourself, am I inside? Maybe there's somebody here saying, I want to be inside. I certainly hope you want to be on the inside. I'd say, but how? How do I get on the inside? He tells us, if any man enter in, enter in. Remember a time at my work where I used to work at Lexmark, the president of the company sat down with us all and he said, now those of you that have offices, you have to keep your door open at all times unless you have a private conversation, but if you're not, keep your door open. We're going to have an open door policy. And so that happened. And there'd be times where I would walk by the office door of the president, and as I was walking by, he's in there working, the door's open. Do you think I'm going to go in? No, I don't really. Like, he looks busy. I'm not going to bother him. I'm just gonna let it be. But the door's open, but I didn't go in. But this president was unique. Once a day, he came to the door, and he stood at the door. Right at the door. Door's wide open. He stood there. And the very first person that came by, he said, do you want to come in? That happened to me. Coming by, rushing off to a meeting. He says, Brian, do you want to come in? What do you think I should say? Oh, I've got so much work, I can't. To reject that from the president? He's the boss. So if someone else is upset with me, just go talk to him. Of course, I would come in. It was a personal invitation from a person who really shouldn't have anything to do with me. You want to come in? Oh, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. The door is open. He opened it through his own flesh, through his own body. He laid it down. And he's seeking. You know what he's doing? He's seeking lost sheep. Standing at the door saying, please, he's never going to force anybody. Please, would you come in? Would you come in? Don't stay out in the danger zone. Come into the safety zone. Come on in. The door's wide open. I paid the price for your sin. I was punished and I got proof. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side. I've got proof. I have been punished for your sins. And now the invitation is, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Friends, and why not heed to the shepherd? You can recognize him because of his voice. His voice isn't a harsh voice. His voice isn't an angry voice. His voice is a loving, caring voice of a shepherd that loves you beyond degree. Do you hear his voice? No, I'm not talking literally. I'm talking through the Word of God, trusting what it says, and come and trust him. It has been said of what shepherds do. I'm not going to say I know much about shepherds. I read this, and it was written by Dr. Andrew Bonar, and he said that in the Highlands of Scotland, sheep very often what they would do is they would come to a precipice and they would just jump down to a little ledge because there was nice grass down there. Sometimes they would jump down to another little ledge, and then by that time they couldn't get back up. The shepherd would be out looking. The shepherd would find the sheep, look over the precipice, see the sheep down there, still eating. The shepherd would sit there and wait. Keep watching and wait. Sometimes the shepherds would wait for days and wait. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for that sheep to eventually give in. The question was asked, well, why wouldn't the shepherd just, right when he sees it, reach down with a rope and try and get it? He says, no, because as soon as he reached down with a rope, the sheep would say, I can do this, I can do it myself, and the sheep would jump off the edge to death. Now the shepherd waits until it's weak. Friend, tonight there's a shepherd that's waiting. One who cares. One who loves, and he's waiting. He's waiting for you to give up. Give up on anything you're trying to trust in. Give up on your own good works. Give up on anything that you can do or anything anyone else can do. And he's waiting to pick you up
The Bible says about the shepherd that was looking for that lost sheep, picked him up and put him on both of his shoulders. Full security in him. Oh, I trust tonight there might be somebody that would come to understand this wonderful truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Is there a boy or girl? A man or woman here tonight? Yeah. I'm going to come through the door. I'm going to come right through that door that the shepherd opened. Praise God that it's open because he loves us. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful again for the many blessings that we have. We're thankful that we can enjoy a day together as Christians. But our Father, our hearts go out to those that do not know Jesus Christ as their good shepherd. We would pray that there might be somebody here tonight that would open up their heart, trust the Lord Jesus. He laid down his life as the good shepherd. He gave himself. Our Father, we pray there might be somebody who would just repent of their sins and turn to Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to work. This conference is over now. The gospel is over. But your work is not, Father. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in hearts that are still lost and might come to understand their need of salvation is very urgent. We thank you again for more food. We're thankful for the assembly here, for the work that they have done this weekend. And we're thankful for another meal that we can enjoy. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.